The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. Blessed Lord, who has caused Holy Scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may hear, read, learn, and inwardly digest them, that through the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, we are going to be looking at the 4th chapter of this book of 1 Peter. And since this is the 4th week of a 5-week series, let me review what I have shared about that, because often we pastors preach a little bit differently on these topics. For those of you that were on Zoom a few weeks ago, this first chapter will be a little bit of a review for you. 1 Peter was a letter written of strategy, written to people, Gentiles, who were scattered and living in exile. Some 30 years after the resurrection of Jesus, Christians were facing greater persecution for their faith. They wondered, how do we respond to that? Scholars still debate whether the letter was actually written by the Apostle Peter, one of the original 12, or if it may have been written by a student of Peter's. It is a letter that's written to Christians scattered by persecution and living in various communities under Roman rule. The Apostle Peter, or someone writing as Peter, wrote this letter around 60 AD as a way to console Christians that were suffering persecution at the hands of non-believers. He encouraged them to continue to live a life of sanctity and purity despite all the troubles that they were going through. The author starts by emphasizing exactly who they are as Christians and how God has blessed them in Christ. The letter is written both to comfort and to encourage believers to stay strong. At the time that the letter was written, being called a Christian was a label that the people did not choose for themselves, and it was not really a label that they wanted to have. Peter was telling them to own that title. He reminded them that they were a chosen people. The letter was meant to go places. It started in one city and traveled to another and another and another. Peter was reminding these people that they were part of a community that was much larger than themselves. In the second chapter of the letter, we heard some familiar verses, the verses that talk about us being living stones and Jesus as the chief cornerstone. God invites people to build their lives upon a strong foundation of spirituality, holiness, strength, and love so that nothing can break us. God's invitation is to build our lives upon a foundation that can withstand anything, even suffering, and then may even be built stronger than before. This second chapter suggests that having been chosen by God, we are also given an awesome responsibility of building within ourselves a foundation of faith and spiritual purity. One who builds upon a strong foundation will create a structure that is sound. The author of this letter is writing to the new Christians to remind them of the foundation of their faith and to give them some household codes to live by, ways to live that would set them as Christians apart from non-believers. They were told to accept the authority of every human institution, their government, their employers, or their masters. And in the third chapter, Peter was writing against his cultural norms when he addressed women and told them to subject the authority of their husbands. He wrote to these early Christians, "Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence." Have you ever had to make a defense of the hope that is within you? I was recently talking to two different people who had to do this. Because of some of their beliefs and their political standings, they both heard the remark, "And you call yourself a Christian?" If someone said that to you, what would you say? To always be ready to make our defense, we need to know our story and God's story. And we can know our story by remembering our history, our life experiences, and how God has been at work in and through us. And we can know God's story by studying God's word, by praying, and by looking and listening for God at work in our world. And in this time when so many are on the defensive about what they believe in, often striking out at opposition, let us live our faith by treating all with kindness, gentleness, and respect. And now today the letter continues. And the fourth chapter of this book can be divided into two parts. Verses 1 to 11 are about living for God. Verses 13 to 19 are about suffering for being a Christian. How can we live well for God rather than chasing our own desires? The author of this letter offers three steps. First, we can pray. We should strive to be earnest and disciplined in our prayers. And that will look different for different people and for the changing times of our lives. Your discipline of prayer will not look like mine, nor will it look like the person's to the left or the right of you on this screen. Prayer is a conversation with God. God wants to know what we need and what we desire. God wants to hear our praise and thanksgiving. God can only know these things if we take the time to pray without ceasing. And when you raise your needs and your desires to God, remember the words of Jesus, "Not my will, but thy will be done." The second step is to show love. Peter wrote, "Love covers a multitude of sins." Love is not a feeling. Love is an action verb. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs." Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And in our gospel lesson, Jesus told his disciples, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. The third step that Peter wrote to these Christians and to us is this: utilize and share the gifts that God has given you. God has given each of us different gifts and talents to share. Some are leaders, some are teachers, some are cooks and bakers, some are musicians, some are readers, some are prayers, some are gifted with creativity, and some are good speakers, some are good listeners, and so many other gifts that God has blessed us with. Each of us is a steward of these gifts. In our offertory prayer, we pray, recognizing that all we are and all we have are God's, given to us and for which we are stewards. By sharing these gifts, we are not only utilizing and sharing the gifts that have been given to us, we are showing love. The second half of this chapter talks about suffering for being a Christian, suffering for a purpose. Paul wrote to the people that they should not be surprised at the ordeals and suffering that they were experiencing. He told them that they should rejoice because they were sharing Christ's suffering. We will all experience suffering in our lives. This suffering can either cause us to grow or to grumble. We can choose to hope, praise, and have joy in the midst of the storms that come our way. We can do this because Christ's suffering was not the end of his mission on earth. Jesus rose from the dead, giving us the promises of hope and everlasting life. We are called to live as Jesus lived. We are called to live a life of self-sacrificing love. We are called to love like Jesus loved. And that means even loving our enemies. May God keep us disciplined in our prayers. May God guide us and show us how to show love for one another. May God reveal our gifts to us and lead us to those with whom we are supposed to share those gifts. And may God give us comfort, strength, hope, and courage in the midst of our suffering. Amen.